Blog Talk Radio.
Thanksgiving. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, so there is a lot to get to on today's show, but there is always a lot to get to, and I am excited about what we have in store for you today. So listen, I have a special guest joining me for today's show. He hasn't been on Chalk Talk in a minute, but he is joining us for at least the first about the first part of the show, and I am super excited about that. Here we go. All right, where's my camera? Where's my camera? Why is it not connected? Here we go. All right, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Thursday. A week from today, it will be Thanksgiving. How about that, right? Although, this is what I think. I think we should be grateful every day. There is always, if you can hear my voice, if you are tuning in today, there is so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for, and we don't have to wait to a special day every year. It's great to spend that time with friends and family, but you know what? We can start at any point being grateful. So welcome. I am grateful that all of you are here today. In fact, so much so, I want to hear the open music one more time. I think those of you on Facebook Live may have missed it. And it's just always... All right, so on today's show, as I mentioned, we have a guest who is joining us. He's going to be a part of the broadcast, and we usually, when we get together, we always have so much to catch up on as it relates to the world of sports and politics and anything hot topics, or whether it's news. I mean, I can call him and say, hey, how sweet is that? I just love my family. I love my sister. She says, I'm thankful that you're my sister. I'm thankful that you're my sister as well. Good morning, sister, my sister Sylvia. And if you will, thank you so much for sharing the video. If you will do what my sister Sylvia did and share this video today, I would be ever so grateful. And I keep threatening to, I'm working out the platform stuff with Be Live. I promise you guys. I had a board meeting this morning downtown with the Convention Bureau. And so, and of course, next week, if we do a show, I will keep following me on social media. It will be either Wednesday. Either Tuesday or Wednesday, we will not do a show next Thursday. It's Thanksgiving, and so we will not have a show next Thursday. We may just not have a show at all next week, but I will do some little short updates throughout the week. And so the week after that, we should be better with our with the internet connection. So I am working on it. I am absolutely working on it. So periodically, I reload the show while you're watching, just because the video may be frozen. And that is what I'm doing right now. So if you see it, just hang in there. Don't go anywhere. It will definitely reboot and get you back. My internet provider, as did so many others, had a big outage last night, a global outage. I was AT&T. Of course, I never got any information from AT&T. They had an outage with their cell service, and I think it also has affected perhaps some things with the other stuff, with your service and whatnot. So bear with me today, and by next week, and definitely the next time we do a full show, we should be in a much better place. I'm just going to leave it at that. But man, what is there to talk about this week? So, yeah, the Texans last Sunday didn't look very good, right? They went up, they didn't go anywhere. They were here. I was there in the building. I guess I just want to like almost erase that from my mind. But the Texans Well, last week they did. They went to Los Angeles. I can't even keep up anymore. I'm so kind of lost with what they're doing. They went to L.A., and they lost to the Rams. I don't think anyone expected them to win that game, but they lost to the Rams. The week before that, of course, they lost to the Colts at home. This week is Andre Johnson week. I think that's the most exciting thing about Sunday, and that may actually help them keep a crowd. You know, the Arizona Cardinals, it is not – the Arizona Cardinals are not necessarily a great team. Let me rephrase that. They aren't not necessarily. I'm probably overstating. The Arizona Cardinals aren't that good, right? They're coming in this weekend to play the Houston Texans on Sunday at Minute Maid Park. And the Cardinals are 4-5. The Texans are 3-6. So this game on Sunday, November 19th, will be, you know, both teams need a win, right? You always need a win, but when you're under 500, you know, a win would bring the Cardinals up to 500, and a win would just make the Texans closer to getting 500. If you look at the rest, if you look at the Texans' schedule for the remainder of the season, and you try to see which of these games are really possible for them to win. They are, they're not a lot of them, right? They're not a lot of possibilities in terms of what they may be able to do. Good morning, Marcy Brooks. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And she called me Kimmy. Only people that are pretty much like family can get away with calling me Kimmy. Hey, Marcy. The best thing about this weekend's game is it is going to be Andre Johnson Day. The Texans are honoring Andre Johnson, and what they have going on currently aside, in terms of the fact that the team is really kind of hard to watch, right? They just haven't been very good, especially on offense. But they. It is going to be that they're going to honor Andre Johnson, and they've been doing stuff all week, right? So he's the Texans Ring of Honor inductee. He's going to be on the field for the coin toss, and at halftime, they're going to have the actual induction into the Ring of Honor, the ceremony that will induct Andre Johnson into the Ring of Honor. So, you know, and hopefully the game is exciting enough so that fans will stay through halftime. And they pretty much do. The last home game, people stayed until, you know, they stayed until the second half, and then they started, like, pouring out of the stands, like, just as though they were giving things away in the parking lot. And maybe they were, you know, free rides home. Hello, Gabby. My dear, I haven't seen my friend Gabby in forever. Not her fault. I haven't taught a spin class since my surgery. I hope to teach next week. I'm going to try to take a spin class over the next day or two. Definitely, if not, at least Monday. Maybe tomorrow I'll try to take a class tomorrow just to see what it feels like. I'm still limping, but I should be able to ride on a bike by next Wednesday. So I'm leaving my name on the schedule. So if not sooner, Gabby, I will see you then. So hello, hello, hello. So Andre Johnson Day. You know, you can't. You know, it's the kind of infusion this Texans team needs to try to inject some excitement into what's happening over on Kirby Street, right? There just hasn't been a lot of that. So the fact that Andre Johnson they're going to be honoring him. I think that's a great day to be a Texan fan, right? There may not be a lot else to be excited about, but you can be excited about Andre Johnson, or at least I think you can. Andre Johnson he's just the ultimate professional, right? There's nothing not to like about Andre. And, he's just, he made the game fun to watch. He always brought everything he had to the game. He was one of the best at his position for a long time. And when I'm changing my glasses, and when over time, you know, after you are able to play, when you're able to play the game of football at the level he played it for so long, what the heck happened? Don't go anywhere, everybody. I'm still here. I'm connecting my camera again. I tell you, AT&T, they're about to lose me. And I'm putting them on notice. Yes, they are. Because they just do little things that don't make any sense. All right, there we go. Andre Johnson played the game the way the game should be played, right? He absolutely did. He always brought everything he had to the field and left it on the field. You know, he just – it's just – it was fun to watch him play. It was fun to cover him as a professional, as a person who enjoyed the sport. It was fun to watch him. And I am really looking forward to Sunday, at least through halftime. Now, I can't guarantee you much else. What I can tell you is that what they have planned for Andre Johnson should be exciting. They're going to honor him this week. It's going to cap a week of events. They've had, you know, the kids at the YWCA or YMCA hosted a retirement party for him at the Bowmore Lanes, along with some current players, the mascot and cheerleaders, and some of the ambassador Chester Pitts, who's also a friend. You know, that went on this week, and this is what's going to happen this weekend. When fans get there on Saturday, they're going to get a commemorative placard, Andre Johnson commemorative placard. And when they leave, they'll get an exclusive souvenir from the sponsor, Pally Royal. So he's going to be inducted into the Ring of Honor at halftime. He's going to serve as the home field advantage captain. The United States Army will serve as a color guard. And, you know, it's just going to be exciting. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. You know, it couldn't happen to a better guy. It would have been great if Deshaun Watson was healthy and he could really be there and experience some of the, you know, excitement that we got a chance to experience the first part of the season, right, before Deshaun was hurt and went out for the year. But, hey, listen, it is what it is. So the Andre Johnson day is going to be Saturday. But here's some other things to be excited about, all right, if you're a Houston sports fan. I'm going to give you something else to think about. So the Houston Rockets, right? The Houston Rockets are back in action. Actually, tonight, the Houston Rockets are playing in Phoenix. And what's really exciting about that, good morning, Lacey Barnes, welcome, is that Chris Paul, who has been on the shelf or on the bench with a bruised knee all of this regular season, should start tonight. I was at practice yesterday, and he has been practicing. You know, and like he said, he's just anxious. He's ready to get back into the mix of it. You know, and like he said, he's been through this before. So he is, you know, this is not new to him. He knows how to come back from an injury. He has been injured before. He has had all kind of nicks and bruises. And so he's just ready to get on the court. And the difference is this time, you know, he's coming back with a new team. Now, he did get some action in preseason, but he didn't, he has not had a chance. He has not played during the regular season because of that bruised knee. So he's been practicing. He said he's just ready. We talked yesterday. He said, you know, I am just ready to not be in a suit, right? I'm not ready to not be in a suit in street clothes. So good morning, Heavens Angel. Welcome, welcome. Always glad to have you here. So yes, that's going to be exciting to see Chris Paul in action tonight. You know, the Rockets have a few games on the road. They had won six in a row, and Tuesday night had that streak snapped when they lost at home to Toronto. And you know, they've been a little shorthanded, and you know, then PJ Tucker got tossed, so they were even shorter-handed. But here's the deal. it'll be the Rockets. The Rockets do provide some excitement, right? The Rockets provide some excitement. And P.J. Tucker has been really good for this Rockets team. You know, he really has. Good morning, Freddie Willis. Welcome. Glad you could tune in and join us today. He brings a gift that's really, it's really been a very good fit. A few other little notes and news, not that it matters to you as fans, but, you know, the Texas Bowl that has grown in recent years, become, you know, a more recognizable bowl, has a new sponsor. The title sponsor is now Academy Sports and Outdoors, which is a local company. How exciting is that? And you do know that in 2024, which sounds like a long time from now, the Texas Bowl, this new Academy Sports and Outdoors Bowl, will be the home of the national championship. So the national championship, the National College Football Championship, will be played in Houston in 2024. So, Freddie, my New Orleans Pelicans fan and New Orleans Saints fan, said it looks like Toronto got the best of both the Rockets and the Pelicans. Yeah, Toronto's obviously having a pretty good week as they swing through the West. So you're right. They did get the best of both. So let's talk a little bit about the Rockets. I mean, I think that the Rockets have been the best team in the West to start this season, really. And, you know, James Harden has been James Harden. He's been really good. And played a lot of minutes. He's had to play more minutes. And, of course, Eric Gordon has been starting while Chris Paul has been injured and recovering. So they'll have to make a few adjustments. You know, Eric Gordon, of course, he was the sixth man of the year last year. So now maybe he's back in the hunt to be the sixth man again. You have to play – you have to come off the bench. If you know, you have to be in at least 41 games. So he absolutely could do that. So the game is tonight, Houston time. It's 9:30 because they're out west. Last season, if you're wondering, the Rockets swept the Suns, and they won 11 of the past 13 meetings. 11 of the last 13 times they've met, the Rockets have been the winner. So James Harden has averaged 33 points on a 49% shooting, along with 11.3 assists. And the Suns, who are trying to wrap up a six-game road stand, they're 5-7 since Earl Watson was fired 3 games into the season, and Jay Triano was named the interim head coach. So, you know, they're in kind of a transition mode as well. The Rockets play at Phoenix tonight, and then they play at Memphis on Saturday, and then they're back home next week against Denver, New York, and Brooklyn. So going into Thanksgiving week throughout all of next week. So the Rockets right now are 11-4, best record in the West. San Antonio is 9-6, New Orleans is 8-7, and Memphis is 7-7. Dallas is woeful at, what are they, 2-13 or what's that? Yep, 2-13. So Golden State is 11-3, actually, so Houston isn't the best record in the West. Houston's 11-4, Golden State's 11-3. They're the two best teams, two of the best teams in the NBA right now. Guess who has the best record in the NBA? I'll tell you. It's Boston. Boston is 13-2. They're in a 10-game win streak. They've won in the last 10, they're 10-0. So are they on a 13-game win streak? Last 10, they're 10-0. Yep. So Boston is leading, has the best record in the NBA at this point, almost about a month into the season at 13-2. And Detroit is in the Central Division, leading the Central at 10-4, and Washington is 9-5. In the West, you have Houston, the top of the Southwest Division at 11-4. Golden State at 11-3, tops the Pacific Division. And Minnesota at 9-5 is the top of the Northwest Division. So it gives you some idea of what's happening around the NBA. Okay, I am going to let me check in with our guests. just make sure that he is coming. Yeah, this whole internet thing has been really something, right? I'm going to try this again and make sure that we can get him into, let's see here. I may have the wrong link. I mean, the wrong email. Let's try this one. So, are you excited about the Rockets yet? Usually we're not that excited in this part of the country about NBA, about basketball, until after football season is a little further along the way. But I think we all have settled in on the harsh reality that is the Houston Texans, and the fact that the Houston Texans will just probably not, you know, they're not going to be that great. Quite frankly, I don't really know how else to say it. They've been a little hard to watch, okay? They've been a little hard to watch. But, you know, you got to play the games. Anything could happen. The idea of them getting to the postseason, I think, is not really realistic to think that they will make it to postseason. I'm reloading this page again, so if you see a little bit of drop-off, hang in there, because I'm just trying to make sure I get it unstuck. I don't know if any of you have AT&T, but they have not been a great provider, and especially over the last 24 hours, right? Like, what in the world has been happening? And on top of the fact that they haven't been great, they haven't even really communicated with the customers, you know? Well, let me speak for myself. They haven't communicated with me, and I'm a customer, so... You know, I figure, okay, there we go. All right. I'm going to have him actually call in on the Blog Talk line because we're having some internet issues. Getting him pulled into the show. So listen, the Houston Rockets, you know, many people locally, I heard from you, were disappointed when they did not get Carmelo Anthony. The thought is that they needed another person, another piece. And you always want more weapons, right? You always, if you can have more weapons, you want more weapons, right? That's always the case. But this Rockets team, I like the way they are assembled. It's a pretty good team. You know, James Harden is averaging a little more than 30 points a game. Eric Gordon is averaging 22 points a game. And Clint Capella, you know, is averaging 13 points a game. And here's what's exciting. You know, we knew that Clint Capella has been growing. He's getting stronger. He's 23 years old now. This is one of the things that Mike D'Antoni was saying last week or earlier this week, and he's coming into his own. I mean, he's doing, you know, he's growing into his role, and he's really looked well. We know what we get from Nene. He will not play tonight, not anything long term, but just foot issues. And I don't think he did not practice yesterday, and he's doubtful to play in tonight's game. So, but you know, when you have PJ Tucker, who's been giving you a fair amount, and then what you get from Luke Emba, I just like this team and what they've been able to do, and that is without Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul played in one game, and so we haven't seen really Chris Paul yet. And we saw him in preseason, but he bruised that knee or has a bruised knee. And so tonight he gets back in and gets to make his return, if you will, to the starting lineup. So the Rockets will be fun to watch. They're going to be a fun team. They have been fun to watch, and they are competitive. And one of the things Chris Paul said yesterday is he says, you know what, whenever we walk onto the court, I always feel like, you know, we have a chance to win. I mean, we're one of, you know, one of the few teams in the NBA that, you know, you can, let's see here. One of the few teams in the NBA that every time you go on the court, you feel like you have a chance to win. And that's pretty cool to be able to say, right? To be able to say that. Let's see here. I'm calling up our guest. To bring him into the show. What? Don't do that. Okay. Dialing. Okay. All right. So he's on with us in the screening room, and we are going to bring him into the show momentarily. Good morning, Craig Shelton. Welcome to Chalk Talk. Thank you for jumping on with us this morning. Oh, did I get you in there? Hello, Craig. Can you hear me? Hello? Are you there? Oh, it dropped. All right. So we'll get him back on in a second. I think we had a connection issue. And we'll bring him back up. So you guys have heard Craig on the show before. This has just been a weird kind of day, I tell you, a weird couple of days. So here's the thing. This whole technology piece is really great unless you're having technical issues, and then it's not great. So but all you can do is kind of hang in there. Good morning, Craig. Are you there?
Hey, what's going on, sis? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? First of all, welcome to Chalk Talk. It's been a minute, but we are always glad to have you joining us. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Always glad to join.
So I was telling the audience, you know, just because I like to let people know when they think, what is going on her end? The last 24 hours have been really kind of, you know, interesting, if you will, with the whole I have AT&T and all of my services, and they've just been real sketchy. So phone, internet, and here's the thing, Craig, I have yet to get any correspondence from them, any communication saying that anything is going on. The reason I know is because I saw another AT&T customer post it on Facebook, but I've seen nothing from the company. So that's just my little side rant for the day. But listen, I don't waste your time talking about AT&T because they're not paying us any money. So I want to just get your current thoughts on this Houston Texans team before we talk about things that are really kind of cool like the Rockets. But the Houston Texans team, and if any expectation you have for the remainder of the season, starting with, how many games can they win on the rest of their schedule? They have 7 games left. How many wins can they get?
Yeah, I see what, maybe one, San Francisco. And I think they have one other game with another really bad team. Well, they do play the Colts again, too. I don't have a lot of expectation because the quarterback position is just playing so poor. And we know what T.J. Yates is. And so you're going from Tom Savage to T.J. Yates ain't, you know, it won't mean much at this point. And I don't even know that this team, it seems that defensively this team is pretty focused, and offensively they're pretty focused. They're just not very good offensively. They are playing well defensively, but that defense spends way too much time on the field. So when your offense is poor, which means your offense is giving up possessions very, very fast and not being very efficient offensively, and the defense is back out on the field, you're probably going to get 2 to 3.5 quarters of good defense out of your defense, and then the war of attrition takes over on their body, fatigue, and that's just the way football works. That's not because Kim or Craig says so. That's just the way it works. You know, those guys are in great shape, but if you run them out there and your defense runs 60 to 70 plays, and it's just, you know, it's just madness. So I don't have any high expectations for the Texans. This could have been a blessing and surprise had they not signed Brock Osweiler and then made the deal they made to get rid of Brock Osweiler, giving up all those high-value picks coming up in next year's draft, even though they got more than they would have expected to get for Dwayne Brown in that trade. But those don't come in; those picks don't come into play until, what, 2019, I think.
Yep.
So I don't have any high expectations at all for this team, Kim. I think that this team may not be mentally where they need to be because of the Bob McNair situation. I think there's a lot of little sidebar issues with this team that may lead to this team making early vacation plans.
Well, and I'm talking to Craig Shelton, who is host of The Cut. You can follow him on Facebook at One Deep Media. I mean, Facebook, on Twitter at One Deep Media. He has always been, very well versed across the board in sports, and so we're just kind of tapping into some Houston stuff today. But I wonder, you and I haven't talked about the Bob McNair comments. Do you think that that's some residual, you know, kind of like having a hangover that's kind of hanging over this team? Just that cloud of all that stuff, I'd imagine it probably weighs pretty heavily on this team. And, you know, although I know Dwayne Brown was ready to leave and they've been talking about trying to move Dwayne Brown, but I know the team, you know, I talked to some of the guys, especially the defensive guys off the record, and you know, they were not happy about the fact that they, you know, shipped Dwayne Brown away, not just because he was kind of their leader and they liked him, but because of what he would mean on the field. And when you have, especially now that you have this really subpar quarterback play again, it's like, how could you do that? Like, you're not even – I think some of the guys wonder, you know, is this upper management, is this owner committed to really winning? Is that what's most important?
I don't question Bob McNair's willingness to win. I think Bob McNair wants to win how he wants to win philosophically. Mm. He wants to brand his team a certain way with a certain brand of athlete. And, you know, one can argue either way of how they feel about that. But I don't argue that he doesn't want to win. I would say it's more of not knowing how to win, a little bit of running your organization more like a church than a business, and the fact that they've been so inadequate at the most important position on the field in terms of not only who they've had playing the position, Kim, but in terms of how they've built the roster and how they,
right,
their culture of drafting has affected the team's play on the field, because this team hasn't drafted enough or properly at the quarterback position, or even enough. If you look at the 14 years of existence or whatever it is, and you look at the amount of serious quarterback potential talent that they've taken any risk on, well, that's a very, very low number just in terms of sheer numbers of guys drafted. So, I mean, and that's the most important position in football. So we got a little bit of not knowing how to do this thing in terms of winning. They don't know how to win big. There's too many issues with that from top to bottom, you know. So, I think it's more of that with Bob McNair. And, of course, it all trickles down to the locker room. It is impossible. No matter what bull anybody tries to sell, you know, saying the politically correct things, Bill O'Brien or whomever. Come on, you've been around locker rooms. I have too, Kim. You know these guys are just regular people, and they don't like what the hell is going on right now.
Right. Well, you know, I think you're right. And, you know, you talk about the roster, Craig, and clearly the quarterback position stands out. But they have so many deficits. I mean, so we're talking about Will Fuller not being able to play this weekend. They are really thin at wide receiver. They really are. You know, so you got DeAndre. When Will Fuller is, I mean, healthy, which he's had some challenges with that. You know, you got Will Fuller, and you've gotten a little bit from Ellington, which probably more than you could really have expected. You just, you know, you're thin. You're really thin at the receiver position too.
Yeah, you are. But in Bill O'Brien's offense, I won't make as huge of a big deal out of it because you have C.J. Fedora's back. Ryan Anderson's played well when Fedora was out. And, of course, Hop is having a really, really good comeback season, not just catching the football, but we've seen some yards after the catch, some yak from Hops this year. It's been significant in games. So with these backup quarterbacks, the tight end position is typically a safe zone of secondary to the safest zone of throwing to a back out of the backfield. A tight end is usually the next guy on the roster that has more open windows than what you will see on guys on top of guys on top of DeAndre Hopkins with double coverage and just the talent level of the opposite athlete on defense that's typically playing against a receiver as opposed to who's usually trying to cover a tight end. You get a lot more open windows with the tight end position. If T.J. Yates ends up playing after a quarter of 14 snaps or two snaps dealing with Tom Savage, which I think you will see Yates this week, the tight end position is a safe zone. Those guys usually look for that tight end quite a bit. And in Bill O'Brien's offense, you know, that just like Gary Kubiak's offense, one of the few likenesses is that they will throw the ball to the tight end in the seams. And so I wouldn't make as big a deal out of Fuller being out. Of course, you missed that big play ability. But I wouldn't make as big a deal out of Fuller being out in this circumstance because with these quarterbacks, it really doesn't matter. You're not going to win anyway.
Yeah. So. You know what? You got a good point, you know? Like you said, with these quarterbacks, it doesn't really matter.
No.
I want to talk a little bit about defense. You know, the defense has played well, and as you said earlier, you know, they've been on the field a lot, and it's only so much you can expect them to do. They can't win it all by themselves, right? They can keep you in it, and they – But I know that everyone loves Mike Vrabel, and I like Mike Vrabel. I like him as a linebacker coach. But I sometimes have wondered from what I've seen, Craig, if, you know, sometimes some of the coverages that I've seen them in and just how he calls a game, if they don't miss even having Romeo Crennel on the sideline a little bit. I mean, and of course, clearly they you know, they lost some pieces on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not talking about J.J. Watt. I mean, obviously J.J. Watt, we don't know if he was going to get back to the J.J. Watt he was 2 years ago. You really missed Merciless. You've got some, you know, you had some people that are gone before the season even started in the secondary. But, you know, I look at that, like the two touchdowns that were thrown on Jonathan Joseph, and I hear people saying, he's just long in the tooth, he's just too old. But I'm like, where is the safety help? Why are they not doing – why is he in that man coverage? Why you have him in man? I mean, I just wonder when I see some of what I've seen watching the games about just – you know, we talked about it before, not so much this year, but just coaching. I know I have questions about what I've seen with Bill O'Brien in coaching, but you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, folks – okay, I'll address two different things here. I'll address Vrabel last. In the situation with Jonathan Joseph, he's still your best cornerback because he's really your only cornerback that's a playmaker as opposed to just a cover guy. A.J. Bouye had developed to a better cover guy than Jonathan Joseph, but how many interceptions did A.J. Bouye get for you? And Jonathan Joseph has always been a playmaking corner, and then when you run trip sets to the opposite side, that cornerback that's left, if you run trip sets to the strong side, the cornerback that's covering on the weak side is not going to have any help. So teams, you know, the other team is making decisions too over there, and they have a think tank too. There are ways to isolate guys in a system in football where it's not really a fault of the coaching staff in terms of, well, why was he over there? Well, if they ran trips to the other side, he's a professional football player. Sometimes you got to play your position. And no, really, it's that simple.
Yeah.
I'll just say that about that. I'm not defending J.J., but I'm just saying people might want to look at the film a little closer. I'll just leave it at that. Now, man, here's a problem with Vrabel. And I'm worried about this in the short term, but I don't think it's going to be a game killer in the long term. Rock, you know, Romeo Crennel, when you think about it now, and you think about it in relationship to Mike Vrabel, Vrabel has been Crennel to damn death. He played for Crennel in Crennel's defensive system. He then coached for Crennel in Crennel's defensive system. And when Crennel left, so to speak, you're still coaching Crennel's system, which is not a cornerback-friendly system. Romeo is not known for his genius in terms of secondary usage of what he does with his secondary. I would dare say, based on the information I've talked to at least two NFL cornerbacks that are very close to me, I think you know who they would be, that have both that play for Romeo, both like him, but secondary, what he does with the secondary is equivalent to what Seattle does. Seattle just has much better athletes back there. They rarely turn their backs to the quarterback. They're always facing the quarterback in their system. They keep everything in front of them, and they give you a hell of a whop if you're in Seattle. In Houston, we don't have as much of that. You don't have as good a cornerback or as good a secondary as Seattle. Seattle has a Pro Bowl corners, Pro Bowl safeties, Hall of Fame level safeties in corners, at least one of each. Texans don't have that. The Texans are very good up front. Their front seven is going to play well. But your front seven can get you they're good enough to get you a third and five, third and seven, even third and 12 with Clowney being one of the best penetrators in the run game in the league. But when your defense is going to give up a 20, 15-yard, 17-yard third down pass because you just don't have the players, I don't know if that's because of Vrabel or is that because of Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien building the roster, but I don't see a lot of variation in what Mike Vrabel is doing and what Romeo Crennel did in Houston or in New England. Do you? I don't think we don't. I mean, what do we see? So I don't know if it's talent on the field. You want to hear my vote? I say it's talent on the field. The safety's position is the safety position is. Dempse was, it was a mistake to let Dempse go. I mean, you don't let Dempse go until you get another guy in there that can play better than Dempse. Dempse's not going to break you in the pocket. Dempse played good football in Chicago. So the safety position is bad. The cornerback position is okay. It's not horrible. It's not great. So that's what you got back then. The back end is the problem with that. I don't think Mike Vrabel's doing a bad job is my point.
Okay.
Talent on the field.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, and so we talk about talent, and although the Texans are going to finish, you know, toward the bottom this year, as you mentioned earlier, talking about draft picks, they don't have a first-round pick in the 2018 draft. But, you know, who knows? You know, apparently Rick has some kind of, you know, special, you know, voodoo doll with the people, with Sasha in Cleveland, so maybe he gets a pick from them. I don't know. But they don't have a first-round pick, so, you know, they're going to have several needs. Your thoughts about Bill O'Brien? This is a fourth year of his fifth-year deal, you know, and so the team's not going to finish well, but will they be able, you know, will the argument be, well, you know what, he lost, you know, key guys on defense, and he lost Deshaun Watson. You should extend him? But I can't see them extending him for, what, 3 years if he finishes and he wins, what, six games, he goes 6-10 or 5-11. And if they offer him just one game, you know, he's kind of got an arrogance about him. He may not want that. He probably would be glad to go back to college. What do you see happening with the Bill O'Brien situation?
Well, I think Bill O'Brien should go back to college. I don't think he will, but I think he should. But I wouldn't be shocked if he went back to college. I don't know him personally, don't have no insight on it. But I just think that his personality and controlling temperament and surliness would fit better and be more palatable to a college culture, from fans to athletes and to media, would be probably a better PR look for him. But I don't know if Bill O'Brien give a damn about what people think about him. So we'll see. In terms of what the Texans should do about him, this is starting to be the first season that I don't blame Bill O'Brien for the quarterback position. Every other year, I'm reverse of what most people say. You know, they give him credit. Well, look what he's done with those bad quarterbacks. So I'm like, well, He's the reason why he had the bad quarterbacks. He got control of the 53. He got the guys he wanted. I mean,
right.
I don't exonerate him. I think he's been a bad coach for three, four years in terms of how he's developed the quarterback position, and philosophically, just as a team, they took the total wrong approach to that position, and his quarterbacks haven't performed well. Don't tell me Ryan Fitzpatrick played one of his best seasons while he was here. Credit to Bill O'Brien for what? For what?
Right.
He's the same damn maniac that stood up before the media and when Brian Mallett and Brian Hoyer were quarterbacks and had the audacity to tell us in a scolding tone that we should be proud of these quarterbacks. We should be proud. Do you remember that? We should be proud.
Yeah, I remember that. I was there.
You remember the looks on our faces? I'm rarely without.
Like, is he serious right now? I do remember that.
And, you know, this man gave J.J. Watt the football on the goal line in the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of on-the-field stuff, time, clock management. I mean, just his general bullying attitude toward, you know, women in the media and his disrespectful tone, or let's just say his disrespectful football bedside manner toward African-American women in the press room. Don't make me go there. So, I don't give a damn about Bill O'Brien. You know what he is to me. But just to be fair and balanced, I can see the Texans extending him. He's shown some good things as well as in terms of keeping the team focused. I've always been impressed by that, coaching the team to be physical and being frank about his feelings about what needs to happen, but at the same time being loyal to his players. He don't throw players under the bus. So, that's the things I appreciate about him. But, I'm not a Texas fan anyway, so I just live in Houston and want to see everything in Houston shine. But I don't get emotional about this team. So, I'm with you. I think they'll extend him, but it will be interesting to see what work out in terms of what they try and work out, no guarantee, in terms of years, you know, even if it's going to happen.
All right, I think we've kind of covered some things with the Houston Texans. I want to talk about, the Houston Rockets. I think the Rockets have, they're right now one of the best teams in the West. They're 11 and 4, and of course Golden State's 11-3, and then you have Boston in the East at 13-2, even after they lose Gordon Hayward. But I like this Rockets team. I don't know how far they can go. I'm looking forward to seeing Chris Paul really get into the mix of it and what that looks like over a series of games he's supposed to play tonight. He said yesterday after practice when we talked, he said, he's been through the nicks and bruises, and so he knows about how to get back and get himself into the flow of the game, but he's just ready to get out of a suit. What do you think about what you've seen early from this Rockets team? And I'm gonna say this before you answer. I knew I would like Lou, and PJ Tucker has been surprising to me. I guess I haven't seen him play a lot since college, but I like what I see from this Rockets team so far.
I'm sorry, I was asleep. They're going nowhere, sis. I mean, they're a cute team. They're going to be entertaining. They're going to play hard, and they're going to lose. Your best player is James Harden, and mentally that guy is not there. He's not – I don't want to sound like I'm being a contrarian while I'm being a contrarian.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a Rocket and Astro fan all my life, man. But I'm just honest with myself. We've seen champions in this town, and we know how champions focus. We've seen that champion eyes and how it burns. And champions don't club after a big loss in the playoffs. They don't hit the strip club after this or that. Champions have a different focus. They walk like Kobe. They walk like Dream. You know what I'm saying? They walk like Karl Malone, who never got a championship, but that man was focused. He wanted that championship. You know what I'm saying? The Pasty Gangster wanted that championship. James Harden don't want that championship. He'll take it if he get it. But as long as he can get blown out by 30 in the playoffs and walk in the strip club and everybody cheer and throw up money, yeah, you know.
And get a new contract.
I'm sorry?
I said, and get a big fat new contract.
Of course, in the endorsement deal. So, you know, I'm happy for the young brother. I'm happy for any young brother getting his money, you know. But as a fan of a team in the game, I don't believe in James Harden. Chris Paul, you know, is what he is. Even if he's healthy, you know what I'm saying? He's a, what, 32-year-old version of Chris Paul? No. Isn't Paul about 32 now? And we're talking – no, he's not. LeBron is 33. And Chris Paul was behind LeBron. So,
right.
So, no, he's probably closer to 30, I guess, if my memory serves me well. But, you know, I don't think Chris Paul is going to break through the Warriors, you know, with this Rockets
right.
roster. You know, and listen, you got a lot of teams that say the same thing. I'm not crushing the Rockets. I think the Rockets organization do a good job in building a team, particularly in the climate of the league today, the way the league is set up. It's very, very difficult, you know, to be one of those elite teams until they do something about these power teams. They have to come up with some type of pay peers to make sure that that talent is spread out around the league instead of having all the talent on 2-3 teams, you know. But that's a whole other argument. But, no, I don't think the Rockets will do much. I think they'll be in the playoffs. I think they may win a series. They may even make it to the Western Conference Finals. But they're not, you know, we want championships in this town, you know. It's time to have higher expectations. And we want championships. And the Rockets, I don't think that's a championship roster.
Well, So I agree with you. I like what I see so far, but when you talk about, you know, Golden State is still the standard, especially in the West. And do they have what it takes to get past Golden State in a 7-game series? I don't think so. But you're right. They will be kind of fun to watch along the way. And listen, with the way the Texans look, and it's a minute. We just finished baseball, and that was a one heck of a ride. You got to hang your hat on something. So.
Well, we got Deshaun Watson coming back, and you know Texan thing can fire up again next year, and it will. And I think the Texans in good hand at that position. You know, I was a little disappointed during the whole Bob Menel controversy that, you know, for my taste, we didn't hear nothing from Rick Smith. I guess it's easier for me to say I ain't the one that's cozy with the billionaire. You know, so from my vantage point, I would have wanted to hear. I'm not saying I want to hear Rick Smith attack Bob in there, but I just wanted to hear Rick Smith come out and say something as a brother, you know, in that circumstance, you know, and be balanced or whatever you need to do, but show some type of dang, you know, show a sack, man. And so, it'll be backfired up. Deshaun Watson will be back next year. The Texans got a good young nucleus on that defense, improving on that offense, you know, which, of course. And I'm optimistic for the Texans, Kim. I really am going forward in terms of what's on the field. But they do have some holes they got to work out.
So you mentioned Rick Smith, and I'm with you. But, you know, what we know – well, I'm going to speak for me. What I know about Rick Smith is I don't think he's really that interested in being connected as a brother. I mean, I just know
– I don't either.
I don't think he cares. And, you know, I'm not knocking him for you. He's the godparent to Cal McNair's kids. That's great. He's family. But in terms of, you know, being somebody that kind of represents, and it would have, I think it was necessary to hear from him. And you're right. We didn't expect that he would bash Bob McNair, but he should have said something. And he said nothing. And that's unfortunate.
Kim, that's very unfortunate. I mean, it's probably more unfortunate than we have time to discuss on your show, because that just shows you. See, the biggest thing that I took out of that entire incident, which again may be a little bit different than some, is it's not so much of what Bob McNair said, because that is a common saying, and. You know, I acknowledge that, you know, the inmates can't run an asylum. Hey, man, I've been in management level with my company, and, you know, I've heard that term before, and it wasn't related to anyone of any particular minority or sex. It was just, hey, it was management talking subordinates and their behavior and their wish list. But the fact that that meeting was a meeting of owners, he was with his peers, and
right.
he spoke those words so casually among his peers. It's just that this time, representatives from the players' union were in attendance. And this is not the first time we heard Bob Menezes say something that he don't need to say. I just think that's who he is. I think he just keeps it real. And he's a very, as you know, he's a very affable guy. He's a, you know, you meet Bob Menezes, you're not going to come away from it feeling like, oh, that's a nasty dude or arrogant guy, you know. But I just can't believe that people had so much outrage and was so shocked that how old is he, 80 years old?
Yeah, probably.
Come on, man. 80 years. Anybody close to 80 years old that's white and a billionaire might have a little cracker in him. I'm just saying. I ain't saying he does.
From South Carolina.
From South Carolina on top of that. So that was no breaking news for me. That was no shock factor to me that Bob McNair verified that he got a little cracker in him. Hey, I'm not going to let that wipe out everything that I've had the luxury, like you, of being around the guy a little bit, and he is a pleasant person. He really is, and wears some nice damn suits. But they are what they are, Kim. They are what they are, and I'm being a little racial right now, but it's okay. I'm a little racial. It is what we all are. He is what he is, just like I am what I am. I grew up with old people in Bay City telling me what they thought about the white man. They were right. Okay? They were right. Bob McNair confirms it. They were right. So if you want to change it, they have the power to change the perception that we have of them. Let them change it. I don't feel it's my duty to change perception of people who enslave my people. If they want the perception, you know, they can be as angry as they want. We ain't going no damn well. We here now. So they can be as angry as they want. They can take America back. Who they taking it from? We ain't never had it in the first damn place. Guess what, Kim? I'm probably like you, sis. I bet you no matter who's in the White House, who has been in the White House in your life has had no real bearing on your life. I bet you have had a job no matter who's in the White House. No matter who's in there, I bet you you've managed to go on and be Kim and develop yourself financially, personally, spiritually, emotionally. Who in the White House does not affect my? I'm black and I'm a hood Negro on top of that, and I didn't have a job through Clinton. Got my first job when I was a teenager while Carter was in office. He was a horrible president, but black folks liked him. I got a job, and he's bad president as far as economics and all of that. But I had a job. I had a job under Reagan. I had a job under Bush, both Bushes. So it's all about getting yours, you know. Washington ain't going to fix it. They don't give a damn about us. And Bob McNair cut a $1 million check at least for Donald Trump's campaign, but yet Bob McNair could not stand Barack Obama. Couldn't stand it.
Right.
And that's known. That's known by people who know him, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, hey, man, I sat on my great-granddaddy fought in WWE 1, and he's an old man. When I was a little kid, and we sit on the porch in Bay City, Texas, and we listen to Astro games, and he'd explain the game to me. So he didn't just teach me all about everything about white folks, but we listened to baseball together on the radio, and he taught me the game. But he also talked to me about some other things in life. And you know what? He was right about Cesar Cedeno, and he was right about Bob McNair.
What did he say about Cesar Cedeno? I'm curious before we get out of here.
5'2" athlete, but he won't stop hitting on them women. And if you know the history of Cesar Cedeno, you know how accurate that is. So, hey, he's my favorite Astro all time, still is, but maybe he had some immaturity issues back in the day at some point. We'll just say that, you know what I mean?
Cesar Cedeno was my Astro buddy when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, you won. I've never met Cesar Cedeno. If I had met Cesar Cedeno as a kid, I would have literally had a kid stroke right there on the spot. I don't know what that feels like, but I would have had one. I would have just had a kid stroke right on the spot. I would have just went to shaking and, you know. Now, I did. Well, here's my kid story. I got one. I'll better yours. And it's a double hitter. When we first moved from Third Ward to South Park, back when South Park was a place to go, you know what I mean? And we moved in here, and we had all these white neighbors, and all this is like, wow, man, this is deep, you know, coming from Third Ward. I live right around the corner from the Shake Community Center. So, you know, I was right there in the mix, and moving out to South Park, it was different, you know. Well, my neighbor right across the street from me was Kenny Houston. Yes.
Wow.
Kenny Houston. And my elementary school, which is right down the street on the corner, Manning Elementary, this was my sixth grade year, the only year I went to school there. Guess who our substitute teacher was one day?
Who?
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
No.
Remember, Billy was a school teacher. People didn't know because those guys worked in off season back then. And those guys had jobs in off season back then. My sixth grade substitute teacher was Billy White Shoes Johnson in person. Beat that one, sis.
You win. You win. I mean,
first time.
Yeah, you win. All right. Well, I am out of time for today. But as always, I appreciate you. You know, kind of changing your schedule and taking some time to visit with me today. It's always, always awesome having you on Chalk Talk. I know you two are a big Houston fan and an Astro fan. How exciting was it for you going through this Astros run? I mean, I remember us communicating back and forth on Twitter, but just to see them win the World Series, just how was that for you?
Oh, Kim, man. I literally got goosebumps up my left arm when you started to talk about that. To grow up,
I know.
The way I grew up as an Astro fan, my all time favorite Astro outfield is Jose Cruz, Cesar Cedeno, and Terry Poole. I think they went through a season when you were like one era. You know what I mean? You know, I remember the, you know, the Enos Cabell at third base. I remember Roger Metzger as a kid, you know. I just breathe the Astros all of my life. And this series, unlike the White Sox series, because there was no huge expectation and no loaded roster like this team had, so the expectation level for this one would have been so devastating for us to have them to lose that series. I'll just be completely honest. I was a complete coward. It was times I couldn't even watch.
I remember you telling me, you're like, I can't watch this. I'm like, it's okay.
Good, man. Kim, I would have a pillow on my lap, and I would literally, I was so not a man for a few days. You know what I mean? And but God was with me for game two. And what was it, game five or two? Which was that? Game five was like the greatest game ever. And game two in New York, that game two in New York was unbelievable. It was awesome. And I think
it was awesome.
Those straight through, but other games, I couldn't even keep my eyes open to just watch it because I was just so nervous, just waiting to have that moment when they caught that last out or threw that last pitch or hit the last walk-off or whatever it took to win it. And it's the real for me. I ain't threw a pitch. I haven't swung a bat, and I feel like I'm a part of it, you know. I feel like I got a right to stand up on the stage or the podium with him, because when you've been a fan that long and it just, you know, went through so many teases, because Astros have had some really good teams. We've gotten close.
Yeah.
But, man, it feel good to get that one. And this team, and on top of that, to know that this team is going to compete for the next 3-4 years to 5 years, man, they're going to compete. Doesn't guarantee you winning the World Series every year, but this baseball is going to be fun in Houston again. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm probably like most Astro fans. That's my testimony.
And they are just a great group of guys to cover and to root for. And, that, you know, they just are. They're a fun team and just a bunch of cool guys. It's just, you just like to be, you know, it was a good experience. Listen, I was getting around the stadium still on crutches. And, you know, I'm like, okay. I appreciate the fact that it was not in vain. But so I definitely feel like I got to keep. It was worth being there and definitely worth covering. All right, we are out of time for today, Craig. Tell folks where they can follow you and what you have going on, where they can listen to you.
Well, right now, man, I'm really I took a step back from sports talk and took some time off my show on ESPN Radio to concentrate on my son's music project. I for the audience members that don't know, I am a music producer. I've produced music on some platinum projects in hip-hop. And I stepped away from that when got so involved in sports talk, and then my youngest son has developed and really basically walked in my studio and auditioned for me like a stranger. And I was like, how can I not support my kid? So I'm deep off into that now, but you guys can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I'll still mix it up on the sports. I do have a new show. Online show that will be kicking off. I'll be sharing that with Kim, giving the details to her. She'll share it with you. But right now, just follow me on Twitter at One Deep Media. That's the number one, the word deep in media. On Facebook, Craig Shelton. I've got three different pages, so hit me on any one of them. I'll add you, and we can chop it up on some sports anytime. Don't let the music thing make anybody think that I still don't love sports, because I still breathe it. Sis, thank you, baby. You know I love you.
I love you too, and we will see. I'll call you later. We'll get together soon. Appreciate you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you. That was Craig Shelton joining me this morning. And like I said, we went a little bit longer today. We hadn't caught up with him in a while on the air, so I wanted to do that. And listen, we didn't even get to talking politics, right? But we will. Follow me on Twitter at Kim White Davis. Follow me here on Facebook, and make sure you share the video. Over the next few days, I'll be doing some updates. We will not have a show next Thursday because of Thanksgiving, but I will be around. I'll be at the Texans game on Sunday, so make sure you follow me there. You'll to get updates about what's happening over at the Andre Johnson Day, the Ring of Honor induction that will take place. And I'm going to have some, we're going to talk about some of the stuff happening in politics as well. So a lot to get to. I won't be here next Thursday, but I will be around. You can still follow me. And I might even share some of my Thanksgiving recipes. All right, everybody? Have a great week. As always, thank you so much for being a part of Talk Talk. Thanks for being here with me today. Thanks for sharing the video. And I will see you over the next few days on social media. Have a great week and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. See you next weekend. Bye. Or next week. Have a good weekend.